Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. A warm welcome to you all who are here, all who are watching live online via our streaming service or on Cash App service during the week. Welcome to worship, everyone. It's so nice to have a stretch of sunshine, isn't it? It just helps everything. Again, I think we should have church outside, but that's just me. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time together today. First of all, as many of us know, yesterday we had a daffodil tea at the church center, which was very well attended. I've been asked to convey heartfelt thanks to all who came along and supported that time together. We had lovely fine pieces, teas and coffees, a nice sing-along as well. And at the end of the day, we raised a very good sum of £250 for the ongoing work of Christian Aid. So thank you very much indeed to all who came along and supported that event. Also, a reminder, today, after we finish our time of worship, we will have a brief meeting of the congregation right here in the sanctuary. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss and approve or disapprove moving from a model constitution for our church government to a unitary constitution of government, which means shifting from a separate financial board and Kirk session to amalgamating everything under the Kirk session. And so after worship, we'll have a brief pause, about 10 minutes, to get our teas and coffees. You can bring your teas and coffees back into the sanctuary. That's not against the rules. And continue to enjoy those as we begin our meeting. And Mrs. Rita Custard has graciously agreed to give a brief presentation about this matter. And afterwards, we'll allow time and space for any questions, comments, concerns. And then we'll have a quick up or down vote about this move. And we'll carry on from there with the rest of our day. So please do consider staying on for a few minutes extra. Enjoy a cuppa and some hospitality and some fellowship. And then come back in here for the meeting, please. A reminder that this Tuesday, the Good Morning Group, the guest of honor for that session is Mr. Duncan Downey, and who has graciously agreed to speak on the history of Kemnay Parish Church. That's this Tuesday, the 24th of April, and all are invited to join the Good Morning Group for this interesting morning. Coffee will be served at 10:15 in the morning, followed by Duncan's presentation. And there's also a shared soup and sweet lunch afterwards. If you would like to come along, please make your interest known to the names listed on the bulletin. Also this Tuesday, 7 p.m. in the evening, at the church center as well, we'll have our next meeting of the church men's group. And our speaker that night is Reverend Nathan McConnell, a very good friend of mine who is also from the United States. Nathan is also pursuing a PhD, like I am, at the University of Aberdeen on a part-time basis, and he's the parish minister at Downfield, Maine's Parish Church, and he's coming along to speak to us about his ministry, his life, his interests. Nathan is a dynamic and engaging speaker, and it's sure to be a great evening of fellowship, outstanding food, as always, and Nathan's presentation. So all interested men, please do consider making space in your diaries to come along for that time. Couple of reminders about Christian Aid. It's coming so quickly that the Christian Aid jog walk this year will take place from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday the 12th of May in the Pleasure Park. Take up the challenge and get a form from Leslie Mackay. This jog walk, as we know, is always well supported by our local schools, but it's just as important to have it supported by adults as well. Adults can take part in the jog walk as well. And the more people we get jogging and running, the more money we raise for Christian Aid. So please do mark your diaries for the 12th of May, 10 to 11, for the Christian Aid jog walk. And also the next day, 13th of May at 6:30 p.m., we will have a special service of worship here in Kemnay Parish Church for Christian Aid. Now, I know it's a lot of churches around here have Christian Aid-themed services, but this evening service is going to be a bit different. It's going to be a regional worship service for this broader area, for Gordon Presbytery, for the neighboring presbyteries. We're casting our net very wide. And one of the leaders of Christian Aid, or as you would say, the high hegians of Christian Aid, Mrs. Sally Foster Fulton, is coming up to speak at this service, to offer reflections on the ongoing ministry and work of Christian Aid. Sally Foster Fulton is very much in demand as a speaker. She's dynamic, she's engaging as well. And it's sure to be a wonderful evening of worship to learn more about the vital ministry of Christian Aid. So that's the 13th of May at 6:30 p.m. here in the church. And we would be so appreciative if everyone here would tell at least two or three friends about this service to get the word out. It's going to go out on Facebook via the Presbytery page, our church page. We're trying to get it shared as widely as possible so that we maximum impact can be made by this service. So when is that service happening? At what time? Thank you. And last but most certainly not least, a reminder that this Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. in the Church Center, we'll continue on with Winnowers this week. Winnowers is a time when we meet together to discuss the text for the coming Sunday, and that will meet at 12:30 p.m. downstairs in the quiet room of the Church Center, and all are invited to come along to that time. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family at this time? With those shared then, let us worship our God through the gift of music by singing our first song of praise. Come, now is the time to worship. And during the singing of this song, our offering for God's continued work here in Kemne and beyond will be uplifted.
Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you this morning to give thanks for every blessing that you have given to us. We thank you for the area in which we live, Lord God. We give thanks for the beauty of your creation here in Aberdeenshire and in Scotland. And we give thanks for the successful crops which abounds through your hands. We place everything before you, Father, our homes, family, friends, food, and health, and place it all at the foot of the cross. We ask that you would take our lives into your eternal care and be near to us always. We thank you for the most wonderful blessing of all, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for our sins at Calvary. Lord of grace and mercy, we come before you as sinners. We know that we have sinned and are unworthy of your grace. We ask that we may be forgiven, Father, even though we know that we do not merit your forgiveness. We give our lives to you to be used to carry out your will. We thank you that you are a merciful God, that we can come to you and be renewed in our promise. May today's reading remind us to keep near to you and not to fall astray of other desires. Lord God, please bless our offerings of time, talent, and money today. We thank you for those involved in the service, for our minister, and for all in the band and our organist, for those involved in technology, and for those watching online. May our offerings glorify the work of the Lord here in Scotland and beyond. We pray and thank you also for the gift of communion and for the opportunity to come to the table of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. We continue to worship God through the gift of music with singing our next hymn of praise, Just As I Am.
Thank you.
I would invite any children to come down front and sit with me for the children's talk if you'd like to. Parents can come down, or anybody can come down for the children's talk, actually, as well. It's not an exclusive time. Have a seat. Good to see you. How are you, Annabelle? You okay? Ben, Lucy, you okay? Good, good. So I have a question for you. Have you ever forgotten anything before? Has anybody else ever forgotten anything before? Are you forgetting anything right now? What are some things, Lucy, you've forgotten? Homework. Ah, yes. A classic answer, indeed. Ben, what about you? Have you forgotten anything? Can't remember what he forgot. That's a good answer. That's did you plan that? Annabelle, what have you forgotten?
Reading as homework,
right. Have any of you ever forgotten anything else before? Have you ever forgotten your glasses? Yeah, you've forgotten your glasses before? Yeah, me too as well. So I have some things here that I have forgotten. Let's see here. Ah, yes. And this is one that I think my wife, Heather, would nod in agreement. Do you know what this is? What do you think this is? A wallet. Yes, indeed. The number of times that I run around the manse looking for my wallet. It's really quite something. So I forgot my wallet before. Let's see here. Oh, here's an important one. What's this? A passport. I almost forgot this one time. Thankfully, I've never fully forgotten it, but I was this close to forgetting my passport. And can I leave the country without this? No, I really can't. That's really important to have that as well. Let's see, what else have I gotten here? Here we go. What is this? That's a hat, right? So have you ever gone outside and forgotten to put your coat on or forgot a hat or gloves or scarf when it's cold? I sure have. It's important to have your hat as well. So it's a little too warm for that right now, thankfully. Let's see here. This is one of the books I'm reading for school, and so I have forgotten to do my reading and homework as well, so you're not alone in feeling that way. Let's see, what else have we got in here? Ah, yes, yes, what is this? Who knows what this is, our tech-savvy people. What is this? A charger, that's right. This is for my laptop computer. Is my laptop computer gonna be much use without this? Maybe for a little bit, but then what happens when it runs out of battery? Boom! It loses all of its power. So without this to charge back up, it can't do much, can it? So I've forgotten this before, and that's been a real problem. Let's see. Sometimes, I'll admit, what do you think this is? What do you think this is? I always check before I leave the house that I'm wearing one of these when I come to worship. And a couple of times, I've forgotten to put it on and had to run back to the manse to put it back on. So that's been embarrassing. Let's see, one other thing I think is in here. Ah, yes, what's this? A case for what?
Glasses,
that's right. Ah, there they are. Oh, it's better. So we forget lots of things, and you know what? I forget things because oftentimes I'm way too busy rushing about doing too many things. Have you ever felt too busy before? Yeah, too busy, lots going on. Anybody else ever felt too busy before? And what happens when you get too busy? We forget things, right? I'm not alone, I hope, in this, right? And oftentimes we forget the most important things like our glasses or our wallet or whatnot. But today, we're talking about a text from the Bible that the Apostle Paul wrote to people who were too busy worrying about things that weren't that important. And they were so busy worrying, they were so busy that they forgot what was really important was they forgot about God, they forgot about Jesus, they forgot the things most important in life. And so sometimes when we get too busy with things, we forget what's really important. What are the most important things in life, do you think? What do you think? What's most important to you? Family is important, friends, school, God's important as well. But sometimes we get so busy we forget about these things. We get consumed with worry and rushing about and forgetting the most important things. And so today we're going to hear a message about the importance of not being so busy that we forget what's most important. So I want to encourage you this week and every week, even with all the things you have going on, all the fun things, to always remember that the most important things are God, family, school, and friends. And the other things, don't have to worry about those so much. So try not to be so busy that we forget what's most important, okay? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to always remember what's most important in life. Help us to not be so busy that we forget about you, about all those things that are most important. Help us, Lord, please, to live and to act in ways that make you happy, that help others around us know more about you. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Go back to your parents now. Really glad I found my glasses. We're all busy. We can all become too busy. But the most important thing for us as Christians is to live for Jesus every day. Today's reading from Holy Scripture can be found in the New Testament, in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, reading from chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. This can be found on page 1190 of the Church Bibles. Now invite us to follow along as we hear God's word read aloud. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every brother or sister who is idle, who is not living according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we did not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he will not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word, and to him be the praise and the glory, now and forever. We continue now in worship with singing our next hymn, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our minds and our hearts, may they all be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We pray these things to you, Father, through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, where have we been? We've been making our way over the last couple weeks through a shorter series through Paul's second letter to the Thessalonian Christians. We've heard already that this is likely one of Paul's earlier letters, possibly even his second earliest, second only, of course, to 1 Thessalonians. When we take the time to read through Paul's letters, this letter, we can see from reading it, was written to address specific concerns raised by a specific Christian community. These days around us, not every church has the same concerns or hopes or dreams. If we were to go visit our friends in Monimusk or in Afford or in Kintore or in Varuri, we'd have very much in common. But would our concerns and our hopes be exactly the same as they are in another town? No. And it was much the same in the time of the early church. The brothers and sisters in Christ spread all around this region were united in their faith, but of course, being in a particular place means having particular things to be concerned about, to hope for. And because of that, the way that Paul wrote these letters, the context is so important when we read what he has to say. And in our New Testament, Paul is credited with writing 13 distinct letters to the various communities of the early church. We read through any of these letters, and we see how context-driven they are, how much they respond to specific concerns. To my knowledge, the only letter that Paul wrote that does not address specific concerns is his letter to the Romans, which is instead this awe-inspiring, this towering introduction to his understanding of the gospel. And the reason why Romans did not respond to particular concerns was because of the churches that Paul wrote to, that was the only church that he did not found. Every other church he wrote to in Galatia, in Ephesus, in Philippi, Thessalonica, those were churches that Paul helped to found as an apostle. But the church in Rome was not. So it was a different occasion for that letter. So even the context of Romans is important as to understand why Paul wasn't addressing specific concerns. So what is the central issue? What is the central concern in 2 Thessalonians? Why did Paul write this letter? We've heard before that it seemed like the central issue addressed in this letter was to do with the return of Jesus Christ in glory and in power. That's always been a central aspect of Christian faith, is that Christ will return again in glory and power. So that's the central issue of this letter. And this particular issue, the return of Jesus, makes this letter very apocalyptic in nature. Now, we've been over this before. Let's see who remembers. What does the word apocalypse mean? Oh, you make my heart so happy. To reveal, to disclose. Now, in our culture, we think of apocalypse as destruction, fire, everything melting. But it simply means to reveal or disclose. The word apocalypse refers to some form of disclosure, some form of information or knowledge that can only be revealed by God. It can only be understood properly with God's help. That's what apocalypse means. So in this sense, we've heard that the entirety of Scripture is apocalyptic, meaning that through Scripture, God reveals or discloses God's own self in a special way. We learn certain things about God by looking at creation around us, looking at nature. But God reveals and special knowledge about himself through Scripture. Everything around us testifies to the glory of God, but it's through Scripture that we learn about Jesus Christ, the one in whom Scripture says, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Colossians 1:9, another letter of Paul. So in light of this, the text of 2 Thessalonians makes it clear that these early Christians were consumed with worry and concern and anxiety that they had somehow missed the disclosure, the event of Jesus' return. And they'd missed out, and they were now, as we say, up the creek without a paddle. When we looked at the first chapter of this letter, we saw that much of the text describes something about the nature of God's judgment on creation. We heard how this text has been used for many what I would call HF&D sermons, hellfire and damnation sermons. But even more importantly, and we cannot stress this enough or say it often enough, the first chapter makes it clear that any act of judgment is always in God's hands. Never, ever in our hands. We are not qualified to judge anyone. We're not even qualified to judge ourselves. That's God's prerogative. We've heard how there's plenty of condemnation and vitriol and judgment in the world today. As Christians, we are called to be different. We are called to be salt and light in the world. We are called to be living reminders of the truth that God's first and last word over all things is love. We are called to live into God's grace and to treat every person we meet, however nice they are, however obnoxious they are, we are called to treat them as an object of God's mercy and love, just as we are. So when we looked at the second chapter of this letter, we heard Paul say things like, "Do not be quickly shaken or alarmed. Stand firm and hold fast to the teachings that you were taught by us." We know from this part of the letter that the Thessalonian Christians were an anxious bunch, and therefore a very relatable bunch. Back then and now, it's hard for us to overstate the impact that anxiety, fear, and worry can have on every aspect of our life, especially when it comes to our walk with the Lord. Paul knew this, and he wanted to address this concern head on. One of the chief points of this second chapter of this passage is that God's love is greater than our fears. God's grace is greater than our worries. We heard that as followers of Christ, there is never any shame, never any shame in seeking help to deal with our anxieties and worries. However, that help comes through fellowship with others, through prayer, counseling, medication. All of these are God's gifts to us to help us live lives of faith and discipleship. This brings us to our third and final chapter of this letter we've heard a few moments ago read aloud. I'd like to focus in on verses 6 through 12. If you have your Bibles handy, keep them open and follow along, please. In verses 6 through 12 of this third and final chapter of 2 Thessalonians, Paul wrote, "Now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you keep away from any brother or sister who is walking in idleness, not in accord with the tradition you have received from us. You yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. But with toil and with labor we worked night and day, that we may not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let that one not eat. For we hear that some among you are walking in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Such people we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." So Paul had to say. And this chapter gives us a more complete picture of the church life, Christian life in Thessalonica. On the one hand, we've heard that some believers were anxious and worried that they had somehow missed out on Jesus' glorious return. That's chapter 2. But in chapter 3, we learn that some other believers had almost the opposite problem. Hear it again. Paul said, "We command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you keep away from any brother or sister who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition you have received from us." We need to pay close attention to the language that Paul uses here, because his language is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Maybe the NIV doesn't quite capture it. Maybe it says those who are idle. But the literal translation is those who are walking in idleness. Isn't that a great phrase? Walking in idleness. How do you walk in idleness? But such a beautiful phrase. Now, I have to be careful. Maybe some of us here today feel like we are idle. Idle in our lives, idle in our faith. Maybe some of us here feel stuck. Maybe some of us want to go deeper. Maybe some of us want to be more faithful. Maybe some of us want to be more alive in Christ. Maybe we want all these things, but we feel stuck. We feel idle. We feel lost, even. We don't know how to move forward in our faith. We want to be more real. We want to be more vital. We don't know how to go about it, though, but we dearly wish that we could. If this sounds like something that you might be going through, this is the kind of idleness that you're feeling in your life, I'm here to say that this is not the kind of idleness that Paul is talking about. Every Christian will go through seasons of challenge, through seasons of dryness, through seasons of feeling stuck. Every Christian will go through these times. We must have faith that God is somehow at work in our lives, even in those seasons of challenge and dryness. Perhaps especially in those times of challenge and dryness. I don't think it's any coincidence that, look at the story of Moses. He spent time out in the desert before God spoke to him. How long did the Israelites spend in the wilderness? 40 years. Who else spent time out in the wilderness? 40 days, 40 nights. So sometimes these seasons of dryness are the most important times of formation for us as Christians. It doesn't make them pleasant to go through, but it makes them necessary. But this is a topic for another sermon. But that's not the kind, feeling stuck, feeling trapped, feeling lost, floundering is not That's not the kind of idleness that Paul is talking about here. This text is also not talking about taking time out for rest and refreshment from the busyness of life. As Christians, it's okay to go on holidays, thankfully. Time for rest, time for Sabbath is holy time. Taking time to rest is God-ordained activity. Sabbath rest is part of the work, part of the activity to which God calls each of us. So that's not what this text is talking about. So what is this text talking about? It's talking about people within the Christian community, and I like this literal translation, who were walking in idleness, a poetic way of saying living in idleness or actively pursuing a lifestyle of idleness. It is talking about a way of inactive living which detracts from our relationship with God and with each other. Later in verse 11, Paul describes such people as walking in idleness, not busy at work or labor, but busy bodies. Who here likes busybodies? No hands, okay? In our culture, and in many other cultures, including my home culture, the United States, it is often considered good and healthy to keep one's self busy. Who here, raise your hands, who here enjoys being busy? Yeah. Right? More often than not, when I ask people how they're doing, after I get the obligatory fine, I never forget that FINE is an acronym. It stands for freaked out, insecure, neurotic, emotional. Yep. So think twice before you say FINE next time. But after that, I ask people how they're doing, and the default response is almost always busy. I'm busy. I'm so busy. We seem to wear busy as a badge of honor on our sleeves. We like to think if our diaries are full, we're doing something right. But busyness by itself is not a virtue. It is quite possible and all too easy to fill our diaries with the wrong sorts of things. It is all too possible to be busy being a busybody. There is a massive difference between godly busyness and godless busyness. So, with this in mind, I have a question. Are you busy? What are we busy with? Who are we busy with? Who are we serving with our busyness? Is all of our busyness building the kingdom? Or are we busy being busybodies? There is a chasm of difference between these things, and each of us, myself very much included, we always need to take stock of our lives and to yearn and seek after godly busyness, because godly busyness is a balanced life. Godly busyness makes time for activity, time for play, time for rest. Godly busyness is only concerned with making sure every aspect of our lives pays honor to God. Sometimes the godliest people I know have the emptiest diaries. So each of us needs to ask ourselves, are we busy? But are we busy in ways that honors God? And so may the Lord help each of us to be truly busy with those things that draw us closer to Jesus. Amen. Every day presents us with new opportunities, with new chances to be about the business of our Father in heaven. Each day is a chance to be busy with the things of Jesus Christ. Each day is a chance to live as a new creation.
Thank you.
Here in this place, we pause from the busyness of our lives. We pause to focus on what is truly important, to focus on what is truly central to our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. We pause from our busyness and we gather together to meet Jesus Christ at this sacred table. This table does not belong to Kemenay Parish Church, does not belong to the Church of Scotland. This table belongs only to Jesus. And it is He who is calling all who will trust in Him to partake of this feast together. So come to this table, not because you must, but because by God's grace you may. Come not because you are strong, but come because you know your weakness. Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right to do so, but come because we cast ourselves upon the mercy and help of the Lord. Come because you love the Lord even just a little and yearn to love Him more. Come because Jesus loves you and gave Himself fully for you. Come to this table and meet the risen Christ, for we are all members of His body. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hear now the words of institution, faithfully recorded for us by St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthian church. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's saving death until he comes again in glory.'" Please follow along for the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Give our thanks and
praise. Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you our thanks and our praise, and to worship you in every place where your glory abides. You laid the foundations of the cosmos, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you shall endure. You are always the same, and your time will never end. You have made us in your image. You have called us to be your people. But time and again we turned away from you, leaving fear, sin, and death to reign. But still, you loved us and sought us out. And in Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, and in his glorious resurrection, your grace has defeated death and reopened the way to eternal life. Therefore, we join with all of your people in every time, in every place, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And with the confidence of those who have been called, claimed, and redeemed by the Lord Jesus, we join our voices together in prayer with the very words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is a sure sign of the covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. May the true peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us now show each other a sign of peace.
Now bring our prayers for the world. Father God, we will indeed praise you for the new works you have done in our lives. You created this world, and you created us in your image, calling us to be your hands and feet, carrying out your will. You want us to be busy with your works, putting you first in our lives. Yet we have certainty that we will not be given a burden too heavy for us to bear, and that you will walk alongside us in all that you ask us to do. We pray that you will show us where you want us to act as your ambassadors in this imperfect world. Help us to see that the problems and issues which plague the world are too many for us to carry on our own. You assign each of us our remit, dependent on our time, our talents, and our resources. For some, it may be financially supporting charity. For others, it may be working in the field, maybe in a far-flung missionary effort or amongst the deprived and homeless in our own towns and cities. For some, it is cooking, for others, cleaning. For some, to serve in a hospital, whilst another may be called to dig wells. Wherever and however we are called to serve, may we know that we are doing your will and give that service in your name. Today we focus our prayers for the world on those called to serve far from home and family, in a different country and different culture. We pray particularly for the Mortons in Nakoma as they continue their work in the hospital, walking alongside your people as they care for them in life's journey. We ask that in all that they do, they may feel your comforting presence. May your love shine through them and around them as they bring healing and comfort to your people. We pray for Richard and Jen as they endeavour to open your word to your people. May their translations be true to the original message, and may those who hear your word for the first time in their mother tongue be truly blessed. We give thanks for Heather and Joshua, who took a step of faith nearly 3 years ago and crossed a continent and an ocean to serve you here in Kemney. Through them, you have blessed this community. May all those who have been called to serve far from home and familiar culture and customs know that your kingdom transcends national boundaries and cultural differences, and your love can be found in all places, and the distance from family and friends can lead to a greater understanding of what it means to truly depend on you. We thank you for those who serve closer to home, in our village, in our church, and amongst our friends and families. May their contribution always be acknowledged and appreciated. We pray that you will continue to uphold all who serve you as they spread your love in this world. We pray for those in particular need at this time, for the sick, the bereaved, the lost, and the lonely. May they be swept up and held in your loving arms as they face the challenges which are a part of life. In the silence, we name those known to us in particular need at this time. We ask you to take all our prayers, the spoken and the prayers of our hearts, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Fiona. We now sing our closing hymn of praise, "Tell Out My Soul."
Thank you.
Final reminder that we have a congregational meeting right after this. Please get a cuppa, stay for fellowship, and for a brief meeting. We'd be so appreciative if you stay and make your vote and your voice heard today. And now receive the benediction. May each of us go forth from this place today, filled with the fullness of God's Spirit. May we be people who are busy with the things of the Lord. May we live lives and patterns that bring honor and glory to his name in our rest, in our play, in our work. May everything we do testify to how great and how wonderful is our Lord Jesus Christ. And now may the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.
Thank you.